From the LiveX studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll talk about the return of everyone's preseason darling.
Woo!
Try to get over the brutal loss in Seattle and get ready for the do-or-die showdown in Minnesota on Sunday night. But right now, it's time.
It's time.
For the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Kyler Fackrell.
Wow. We got the bad. We got
Josh Jackson.
We got the ugly. We got
Michael McCarthy to the corner with the dunce cap. That was an ugly display on Thursday night.
Woo!
Speaking of ugly displays on Thursday night, Corey, how was that plane trip back from L.A.?
That was a 12-hour plane trip from Los Angeles.
My gosh.
Via detour to Hartford. I was watching the watch party on the plane. It was good times. I was watching the Packer Man interview.
Packer Man was answering questions at halftime, providing the best content this channel has ever created.
Yes, it's really one of those funny things where, you know, you change your flight, you spend like over $1,000 to change your flight, and my actual flight I was on landed at 8:30.
Right.
And the flight that I changed it to that was supposed to land at 4:30
right.
landed at 11.
Yep, there you go.
Good times.
But you're back.
Yeah.
You're back. You missed the watch party. You missed transplants last week, but you're back.
What happened?
The Packers didn't look too good. Packers did not look too good.
Well, according to Twitter, the Packers completely are having a futile season, which I completely disagree with.
Oh, here we go. We're gonna go there already, huh?
Oh, Lord.
We want to do some news first?
Somebody break Twitter. Somebody just completely break Twitter. Let's erase it from the consciousness of North America.
Here we go.
It just does nothing but bad things.
Peek into Banky's psyche
nothing,
this afternoon.
Nothing but bad things.
So we sit down here. We do, you know, a little rehearse, the intro, whatever. And then we're ready and we set and there's a little pause and Banky goes, you think you could just erase social media? Like, just destroy it? Like, will awesome. Future generations just realize the folly of our ways and save us from social media? That's where Corey is today. So I hope you didn't tweet him this week. Hope you didn't send him any messages on Facebook because he's ready to rip you all apart. But right now, we're going to talk some Packers news because there is some news, people.
There is a headline.
There's a headline that overtakes everything, Banky. He's back. That's right. Kumaro!
Mr. Takeover.
He's here, baby. He's
the hero.
Practicing.
The new Jeff Janis.
And he has missed the requisite 8 games, so he could play this Sunday night.
Oh, my goodness.
We all know how Aaron Rodgers was opining and had his eye on him all preseason, all summer long in camp. And now Kumaro is on the practice field. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play on Sunday night. They have to activate him to the 53, but they have, as of today, 2 weeks to do so. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying this is the spark they need, but it's something. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take every little scrap I can at this moment.
Yay. Come bro.
Yay, exactly. In other wide receiver news, Randall Cobb jumped in the individual drills today in practice. That is an encouraging sign for a guy who was with the rehab group when practice started, then jumped into the individual drills. You know, I know a lot of people are down on Cobb. I get it. He's got a big salary cap hit, and he's been injured. But he can still contribute in a positive manner to this team. And if they get him out there on Sunday night, that is a good thing. Next up, we got Mike Daniels. One of the bad aspects of last Thursday night's game is the injury to Daniels, an ankle injury that will keep him out for at least a couple weeks. That's disconcerting.
So he'll be ready for the playoffs.
That's how Banky rolls. I like it. On a serious tip, on a serious note, speaking of Packers news, this is legit news. Aaron Rodgers dropping something on Twitter this morning. This... I mean, all you can say here is that's my quarterback. I mean, this is big time stuff from Rodgers off the field in a real life situation. Gaff, roll it.
Wildfires have devastated countless communities. In Northern California, where I was born and raised, the city of Paradise burned to the ground, and many of the residents that got out are now displaced in my hometown of Chico and across the North State. I personally reached out to my friends and the mayor of Chico to find out how to be of the most help. And raising money for both immediate needs and a long-term recovery is what's needed most right now. This is why I'm partnering with the North Valley Community Foundation and donating $1 million to help with the recovery and eventual rebuild of these communities. On top of what I'm contributing, my incredible longtime partner State Farm, through its State Farm's Neighborhood of Good, will donate $1 up to $1 million for every retweet of this post until Sunday, November 25th at midnight Eastern, using the hashtag RetweetForGood. To find out more information about the relief and recovery efforts in Northern California, or to donate yourself, you can visit www.nvcf.org/AaronRodgersFund. Again, you can get involved by simply retweeting this post using the hashtag RetweetForGood. And let's help these people begin to heal and rebuild. Thank you.
Retweet for good, Banky. You retweeting for good?
I just retweeted for good.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Literally just did it while we watched it.
That's what I'm talking about. Number one, Pack says he loves the Cheesehead TV helmet.
That's nice.
I love this helmet.
That was it was made by Spencer, one of the artists of the Packers Fence.
If you haven't seen Packers Fence, yes, check it out. Across the street from Lambeau on Lombardi. Fence.
We sponsor it, and every year we sponsor the last 4 years. But yeah, he made us this helmet. It's really cool.
It's pretty dope.
And it's just been in Green Bay, and I've been lazy and not brought it to New York.
Now it's in New York.
Now it's here.
You're just going to bring it. You should just bring it back and forth. Just like every home game, just bring it to Green Bay. And then you can bring it back to New York, have it on set. And then you can bring it back to Green Bay. A traveling helmet, if you will. It doesn't look like you're down with that idea. Okay, we'll move on.
I did make me realize that I got you this thing for Christmas that is going to blow your mind.
Oh, no.
I got you this Christmas present.
Why are you teasing me like this?
It's the best. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So,
all right. Well, there's a tease.
That doesn't mean you have to get me something. I just be ready for it.
All right. It doesn't mean I have to get you anything, but I have to get you
something. No, you don't. No, I'm serious.
No,
Terrence,
I get it.
You don't.
No, I feel you.
But when you get my present, honestly, it doesn't
you
really.
You think darkness is your ally.
What's funny is when you get my Christmas present.
Oh, no.
You are going to be so blown away by this present. I can't hype this
present. Haven't you ever heard under promise, over deliver? You work in video, Banky.
And I'm doing it right now. That's how hype. I can't hype this present enough. Okay?
All right.
Just FYI, just so you can think about that.
All right. All right.
A little tease.
Now I'm all a fluster. Hey, speaking of a fluster, I know I'm going to get you hot with this little note right here. Because you know what? We got to talk about it because you made fun of me a couple weeks ago when I didn't include a practice squad move in the rundown. Well, guess what, Banky? From now on, every move on the practice squad gets a mention here at Packers News on Packers Transplants. So, the Packers added wide receiver Teal Redding to the practice squad.
Who is that?
I have no idea. But that's what they did earlier this week. Yesterday, Tuesday, to be exact. And finally, a note that may be near and dear to your own heart. Speaking of Packers Fence, Lambeau Field, the area around it. Our friend Rich Ryman there at the Green Bay Press Gazette writing a piece about how the real estate market, the housing market around Lambeau, starting to cool off a little bit.
This happens all. This is such clickbait.
This is literally why I included this because I knew it would get you
clickbait,
going.
Okay. Literally every
clickbait about the housing market around Lambeau. Only I know, but that's my only Packers fans go. Oh, I haven't read about that. Click.
I'll click on that all day.
I know you will.
Dude, okay, this happens every time. Everybody thinks that real estate is going to be this,
right,
and then they take the house off the market. They had a house on Shadow Lane that was for $1 million. They literally put it on the market
so
Rich Ryman would write an article about the fact that there's $1 million house on the market.
Right.
As most people in real estate know, what you're selling something for and what you are going to get for it are two different things. So I don't know that I agree with that. I would say it's actually heating up. You can see across from Oneida on Shadow Lane,
right,
there are houses I didn't even think were in play because they look at the Resch Center. I'm like, bro, who wants to look at the back of the Resch Center? No one.
Zero.
So, but there's someone who's actually angled their house so it looks at Lambeau Field. That's, and so the backyard. Pretty. So there's some things in play there. But dude, there's only, look, The reality
is... Wait. But now here's my question to you. Do you think, and Rich touched on this a little bit in his article, he didn't really kind of dive into it, but do you think that the upcoming expansion with the townhouses and the ability to own in Titletown is playing into this at all? I mean,
I don't, because they just released, the townhomes. People knew about
it. People knew this was coming, but now it's been official.
Now, like, you can sign actually, up. Yeah, you can look at what they're going to look like.
Right.
I actually don't. I mean, look, the Green Bay real estate market is very soft. It has been for the last probably 30, 40 years, maybe longer. I'm in my 40s, so I only know that long.
Right.
It's a very soft market, unfortunately, and there's a lot of things on the market. Now, here's the thing. There are literally only 20 or so houses, and that's being kind of generous.
Right.
That have real estate that butts up to the stadium.
Goes up by
because the Packers took over the parking lot.
Speaking
They've
of
taken
which,
over a lot of the
stadium. I heard a great story earlier this week that I cannot say on air, but remind me to tell you about the story about the Good Karma houses next to Lambeau. Oh my gosh, it's a hot one.
Oh, cool.
Let's get back to football. Let's talk about the Packers. Let's talk about the offense. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers doing great stuff off the field. Still very inconsistent on the field. And look, I know I've been harsh on Rodgers. People have let me know it on my Twitter feed, in my inbox, my Facebook messages. I welcome all avenues of hate. Trust me. I know that people don't like it when you talk bad about their golden boy. But here's the thing. Rodgers can have a pristine-looking stat column. Like, as he did.
He did.
Thursday night.
What do you have, 130 quarterback rating?
A great quarterback rating. Great completion percentage, bunch of yards, 2 touchdowns. Looks great. But then you have plays like this. Roll it, Gaff. So this is Rodgers. Davante Adams with one of the greatest moves you will ever see to turn this cornerback into burnt toast. And Rodgers flings it, doesn't step into it, takes all the power out of it, so it becomes a 40-yard gain instead of what should have been a touchdown. Now, look, you can call me a nitpicker, whatever. But look, that's a throw that Rodgers used to be able to make in his sleep.
Yeah.
And that's a touchdown. That is a touchdown taken off the board because of your lack of fundamentals, your lack of precision, etc., whatever you want to call it. How did that drive end? With a missed field goal. You don't think they could have used those points from the touchdown that got taken off the board in a game where they lost by 3?
I'm surprised you didn't show the Aaron Jones checkdown.
I was going to, but here's the thing. With the Jones, where he didn't check down, there's two plays in particular. The egregious one is in the fourth quarter. It's third down. He does have Jones out to the side. He tries to escape left and gets tackled. That's Aaron being Aaron. I'm not surprised he didn't hit that check down. Should he have? 1,000,000,000%.
I just wish, like, it goes back to the last time we did the show, and, like, I just wish, like, When you're an owner of a business, okay, yes. we're gonna do a little business owner metaphor here.
Could you tell me about the business aspect, sir?
So one of the big things is you have to do an assessment of yourself mm-hmm. and your business every day, every week, every quarter, every year, right?
Right.
And one of the things there's a word,
would
right?
You call it a self scout.
Yes. There's a word for this move, and it's been overused now, and everybody thinks, and it's called pivot, right?
Right.
But as cerebral as Rodgers is, it's almost like he hasn't come to grips with the fact that he can't, it's almost like, when I, in business, right, when I get a little bit, I see some markers moving ahead. I see that I'm not making as much money in this month. I got to get back to fundamentals. I got to get back to what my business model is.
Right.
And what are the things that got me here? And what are the things that are going to continue to allow me to thrive mm-hmm. because I have detriments other places?
Right.
So, for instance, I have an injury, right? Mm-hmm. This injury is real. It is still sustaining him through the season, right?
Right.
But there's no pivot. There's no pivot to checkdowns. When's the last time he's actually serious about checkdowns? We're talking right. about 5 or 6 years ago, right? Mm. He pretty much, for the last 5 or 6 years, how he gets himself out of if he goes A, B, C,
and nobody's open.
And no one's open, right. He runs the ball
right.
because he looks, he
gets
sees
outside
if there's
the pocket.
A spy,
right.
right? He understands if there's a spy.
Right.
He sees if there's a spy. There have been times now where he almost sees the spy and thinks he can get out of it, where back in the day he could have and he's not going to.
Right.
But, you know, I think what bothers people and bothers me, well, specifically what bothers me about the checkdowns the most is that you have this player who is super special, who every fan that watches the Green Bay Packers sees how special Aaron Jones is.
Mm.
So from my perspective and from a lot of fans' perspectives, you know, he should be the second or third read, even in a checkdown situation.
Right, right, right.
Because as a certain
which ultimately is not a checkdown. It's make him part of the progression.
Yes.
Exactly.
But if he's your option, he is 10,000 times a better runner.
With the ball
than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 100%.
So if you can't self, what is your problem?
Right.
Okay. When you can't self-assess in the moment.
Get the ball out of my hands into the better options. Hands.
And that's the frustration I think that a lot of people have, especially with those checkdown things. And my frustration is over time. I just feel like it's almost like if and this is me a little bit reaching, which is what I do. But it almost feels like checkdowns are beneath him.
Kind of a little bit. I feel that.
It almost feels
totally
like.
Feel
well,
that.
That's a fundamental thing, and I dribble the ball between my legs. I dribble around. I do not do such things as assist with a pass.
Right, right.
I don't want to just alley-oop. I want to, like, go for the whole thing.
Right.
I don't know.
I feel that.
It feels like that, and that.
I feel that. Well, and then you have the play to Tanyan, where he does exactly what you're talking about. He escapes the pocket, buys time, everyone underneath is covered, and then he sees Tanyan late, crossing deep, and throws it, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. We all cheer. But it reinforces exactly what you're talking about. And it's that fine line that doesn't seem to exist right now, where it's always looking for that Tanyan play, rather than just hit the check down, man.
Yeah.
Just hit it. You remember
them? Four downs. It's fundamental.
Four downs. You just move the chains. These third and threes, we'll talk about them a little bit, are just fucking killing this team. Something that has kind of come out in the last week or two, especially with, you know, Kansas City and LA being on Monday Night Football and everyone talking about the offensive explosion and the changing offenses, et cetera, et cetera. Look, the Packers don't run those offenses. Everybody knows they don't run those offenses. And everyone knows they don't have those weapons. And everyone wants to say, oh, well, you know, EQ and MVS, they should be X, Y, and Z as far as contributing or their abilities are good enough that they should be able to be productive. And that is true in a vacuum. But in this offense, with this quarterback, with these sight adjustments that they run and the route concepts and the adjustments they have to make on the fly, they have to read coverages the same way Rodgers does, it's going to take time. It's continuing to take time. The perfect example is the third down that Rodgers misses to EQ. And that's not on Rodgers. He sees EQ coming free between two defenders and – you know, football 101 really is sit down between those guys because they're playing zone. And Rodgers throws it as if he's going to do that, but EQ runs right through it. They're just off. That's just, those are game reps. And that's something they're going to look at on film and say, look, this is why I threw it. I need you to sit down here. It's a work in progress. It doesn't just click. It's not Madden. It doesn't just happen. Like, these are things that they have to work on over time, and they will, and they're getting live reps now. But everyone's saying, well, they should come out and look like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill have had a billion reps together, you know, between last year and this year. It's like, it's going to take a little time.
I'm stopping myself from going on my tangent.
Oh, what tangent is that?
I just...
See how I gave you permission? Yes, and. What's the tangent, Corey? I know you looked at the comments.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
It's something I've been thinking about. And it goes back to, like, I tweeted this after the game, and it was about, like, you know, it's my typical, like, calm the F down. Like, just slow your roll. Like, we can still make the playoffs. And before I even looked, I didn't look at, like, what is it going to take for us to make the playoffs.
It's just
obvious. Like, you know, we win out, we can win the playoffs. I think somebody figured out we could still lose two games and make the playoffs. Like, which is kind of crazy. Like, you know, there's always a way. But I always, you know what I look at? If you look at 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comparing the season to the Super Bowl.
No, of course not.
But you look at 2010, 2011, you look at 95, 96, 97. Okay, look at these years when we're hot, right?
Right.
You can't look at it like it would be awesome if everybody hits when the NFL season starts.
Right.
But typically what happens is it's an 18 to 20 month period,
mm-hmm.
and you get lucky if you fit inside of two Super Bowl windows.
Right, right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So
that's the cyclical nature of the NFL.
It just Absolutely. Is, right? And yeah. so it never times out when you want it to.
And that's why the Patriots are such this total outlier that so many Packers fans and fans around the NFL compare their franchise to and go, oh, we're not that. Yeah,
No one is.
Nobody
well,
is.
Well, and to that point, it's like, okay, you know, we're not looking, it's not necessarily that you're looking for, you know, we talk about green shoots, we talk mm-hmm. about potential. We've literally talked, this is the 170th time we've had this show, which I actually feel like.
That's nuts.
That's not that many, though. Which I think Railbird Central that, has like 4,000 yeah. in the same time period.
I think
period.
He just passed 500.
Yeah, he just passed 500. Yeah. And
we're
he's
slackers.
Still going. So we're really slack. So, you know, probably in 170 shows, I've said the word green shoot or potential or potential. Probably every one of those shows.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is, you know, we're looking for all the things to hit at the same time. Mm. And those are never going to happen when you want them to. But there's so many good
things. You got
to
harness it. You got to harness it. I think the frustration.
This team and this offense.
They're close.
Dude,
close.
When you watch this offense, like I was watching some of the highlights.
They're close.
There are teams that would give their left leg to have some of our offensive plays, right? We take all of this like completely for granted. And that's not to say that this might be a completely futile season. Mm-hmm. We might not make the playoffs, right?
Right. Right.
But I don't know.
It,
you say, you know, you're like the product. You've said before in other weeks, you've been like, the product on the field is so terrible. And I'm like, it's actually not. We've had some pretty amazing games this season.
Oh, I agree with that. When I say the product on the field is terrible, I'm talking about the NFL. Like, just football in general. Not the Packers,
but even like
the offense.
Even like McCarthy, like, it just feels like, and I get that, like, everybody's like, oh, he's lost the team. He's done this thing. And I'm like, honestly, Mike McCarthy has not done a bad job this year. I'm sorry. You cannot convince me otherwise. And case could be made, okay?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
A case could be made.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That Mark Murphy is going to extend Mike McCarthy's contract and give him a raise.
I don't know about a raise, but I can't disagree with that first part. That's what's crazy. Like, I said it earlier this week, like, it's not a foregone conclusion.
It's not. Everybody thinks he's fired. Everything I see is like, oh, Mike McCarthy's fired. After Mike McCarthy's gone,
yeah.
or the worst. If you tweet at me.
Oh, no.
Okay?
Oh, geez.
If you tweet at me.
Oh, boy.
If one more person tweets at me, well, I can't wait till we get in the playoffs and lose.
Oh, man.
He's like,
the
Corey,
worst.
That was the response to all that tweet.
The
it was
worst.
Like, Corey, I just can't stand another season of getting in the playoffs and the Packers losing. I just want Mike to go right now. It's like, really? You need to, like, go get a job, do something, get something more exciting in your life, because clearly the NFL is not it.
All right, well, I'm going to get us off the tangent for a second. We'll come back to it, because we always do.
I will bet the people on this chat. I will bet people. I think there's a. I think there's a really good chance that Mike McCarthy is not gone at the end of the season, and maybe that's the hill and I'm gonna die on this season. But if I'm the only person, that's fine. That's fine. That's the life that I've chosen.
No, wait a second.
Live.
No, wait. You're not the only person, because I literally just said, if Murphy looks around and doesn't see anyone that he thinks is a significant upgrade or significantly better.
Yep.
Yeah, he could totally bring.
Yeah, because
Mike
guess
back.
What? When you bring in a new coach, guess what happens?
You start over.
Kiss your team goodbye. You think Aaron Rodgers is going to listen to anybody else?
Well, that's the question. That's the big.
No, the answer to that's that one. Is no,
that's one of the big questions.
You need to have.
Yeah, but wait. Now remember,
draft a quarterback.
Remember when Mike McCarthy came in with Brett Favre? He changed everything, and Favre, you know. Groused a little bit about the terminology being different, blah, blah, blah.
That's true.
But McCarthy sure as hell turned Favre around.
Yeah.
That might be what Aaron Rodgers needs.
It's true.
I don't know. Getting back on the script, because here we go. Third down's killing this team. If I see one more, speaking of Mike McCarthy needing to go, you know what needs to go is one more fucking third down where they try to take a shot on third and three, third and four, whatever.
Yeah, why?
I'm done. I'm so done. Everyone's ready for it. Everyone. everyone.
Yeah, you're not tricking
It's
anyone.
Like you've played each other. It's like, you know, I remember Travis Smith, our good friend down in North Carolina, North Carolina School of the Arts.
Madden all the time.
Shout out Travis Smith.
He's not watching.
Travis and I used to play, well, back in the day it was Dreamcast, but then it became Madden. We used to play NFL 2K. We used to play Madden. We used to play each other all the time. I mean, like, multiple times a day, every single day.
I used to watch it.
For months and months and months and months and months on end. We would sit in rehearsal. We'd be in rehearsal, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And we'd just look at each other on set, in rehearsal, and look at each other and just go, like, as a signal for, like, after this rehearsal, I'm kicking your ass. Like, like, we used to play Madden all the time. And so when you get in situations, situational football,
yep.
You know, I knew Travis was going to call that stupid trap play that always killed me.
Yep.
I knew when I was on offense that he was going to call that cover three and bring down the fucking safety and stuff. Like, I knew what he was going to do.
But could you do anything?
Everybody in the, well, sometimes I could. After a while, yeah, I figured it out. And right now, every defensive coordinator in the NFL has got every single tendency down when it comes to Mike McCarthy. And they know, oh, it's third and three. They're going to take a shot. Like, it's done. It's over. It's over, Mike. It's over. Wave the white flag. It's done. Like, I'm so sick of it. Just pick up the 3 yards.
The other tendency, and it's not a scoring thing. Normally, you could blame it on scoring thing. But, like, the running game, no matter who we're playing, in the second half of the game, it's like,
disappears.
Wait, running game?
Yeah.
We run the ball?
Yep, they get pass happy. No doubt. It happened on Thursday night.
It's a tendency.
100%.
And what's funny is, you know, we have data analytics now, so we can actually, like,
look at that?
Look at our tendencies.
Well, that was what the bye week was supposed to be about. Self-scout across the hall, blah, blah, blah. I will say, though, to that end, speaking of the bye week, this team has looked so much better since the bye week.
Oh, yeah.
They've just continually shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
They should have won that LA game.
Yeah.
They could have won that New England game.
Yep.
And they were absolutely
supposed
to win that Seattle game. But they completely f***ed themselves every single time.
That's exactly my point. Like, my point about this season, all it's going to take, like, everybody, there's a lot of people who are just, like, counting out the season completely. Now, a
lot of ball game left, Banky.
And not only is there a lot of ball game, you've got all of these pieces that are actually, now, Mike Daniels really hurts us, right?
Yes,
that
correct.
Really hurts us. Like, that just, it hits you in the gut.
It does.
But the defense this year is is one of the best defenses we've put in the field in the last 6 years. Pretty easily. If we just get a couple more turnovers, we win games, right?
Yep.
And that is the difference. I saw this thing on, I know we're not talking about defense yet. We're still on offense.
No, we are still
on
offense.
No, that's fine.
All right, okay. Well, we'll finish up offense.
I'm allowing the outline.
Well, let's talk about, real quickly, we talked about these young wide receivers. I just wanted to give a shout out to EQ because holy cow, this kid's catch radius is ridiculous. You can throw this ball pretty much within 5 feet of him, and he'll go get it. Gaff, roll this. Because this throw and catch, this is ridiculous. I mean, look how far away that football is from his body. This angle is ridiculous. And, I mean, it's just like, pluck, bye. So I just want to give a shout-out to EQ. I hope he gets more opportunities. I know Rodgers, like, glares at him or gives him the stink eye at least, like, once a game. And I just hope he doesn't get away from him because I think the kid's got a lot of talent, showing a lot of promise. Yes, there have been hiccups. Yes, there are issues. But, hey, man, I'm telling you, they really hit something here with these two young kids.
Yeah, MBS,
and I'm really excited.
Dude. MBS
really excited
and Kumerow. I mean, look, seriously.
Kumerow!
Seriously. Dude, you could win a Super Bowl on EQ, MBS, right. Kumerow, okay, and Aaron Jones.
Okay, slow down.
No, slow down.
No, throw in Devontae Adams, and then I'll agree.
Oh, yeah, Devontae.
Then I'll agree.
And see? Cobb.
But just those three and Aaron Jones? No.
Come on, we are fielding
a pretty
amazing offense.
Someone earlier in the chat, I don't remember who it was.
Oh, Lord.
Someone asked about Kumerow and said, this guy doesn't even have an NFL regular season catch yet. How can you even know? He can't even be that good. I'm here to tell you, you non-believer. This is touchdown Jesus you're talking about.
Did you just straw man that?
This is touchdown Jesus you're talking about.
Just, yeah, he is touchdown Jesus.
This is
What?
The next level.
Was it the third preseason game?
Yes, against the Steelers, where he took that out route and turned it up and touchdown.
He straight up owned Lambeau Field.
I mean, just relax on your, he hasn't caught a regular season pass. Just wait till he does, because I don't think you're going to know what planet you're on.
I don't think.
Touchdown Jesus is coming to save your soul.
I don't think that people really understand that Jay Kumerow exists.
He's about to come save us all. They needed a galvanizing moment, according to Rodgers. Here it is.
It could be.
Jake Kumerow.
It's a joke, but it's also not. That's the thing.
It's kind of like our existence in this show. It's a joke, but kind of not.
But it's a real thing. Yeah.
But it actually exists.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Okay, now we can talk about the defense. And I know you weren't here last week, Banky, as we discussed earlier. So you missed a monumental moment in transplants history where I turned to camera and said, I was wrong. I was wrong about something.
Well, wait, did you clip it and put it on YouTube?
I put it on. Oh no, I should do that, shouldn't I? I put it on Twitter. Oh,
sure. You don't mind like making me eat crow to all social media accounts?
But that didn't do great numbers, did it? So that's probably why I didn't do it. Lord, I shouldn't think of that though. I should do that. It was all right. I couldn't get Crosby to tweet it. If Crosby would have tweeted it, then it would have done numbers. That was literally the whole reason I put it on YouTube, because I thought, okay, I'll tweet Crosby, then he'll retweet it, and everybody will watch it. You apologizing to him. But then he never retweeted.
And he was like, who?
He was like, who? I'm sorry, what?
What happened?
I'd say he said what now? So, last week on this here show, on this here program, sitting behind this here table, I apologized publicly to Kyler Fackrell because I was so harsh on him. I have been throughout his entire career. So I'm glad I got that apology in last week, because then he went out Thursday night and fucking balled, dude.
He balled.
Oh, dude, my God.
Kyler Fackrell's
sacral
emergence.
To you and I.
Kyler Fackrell's emergence is a metaphor for exactly what I'm talking about.
Word.
You have to be patient. You have to allow all of this stuff to happen.
Let it flow,
so that,
man,
the team can gel together and
let it flow.
Kick some ass.
Let it flow.
Kyler Fackrell, it's like all we need is for like two or three more Fackrell type performances from these young guys, which we're starting to see.
Speaking of which, one such young man's performance we're seeing stepping up to the plate is Tony Brown from Alabama, the undrafted corner. Love this kid, love his game. And I'm here to tell you right now, and I know this is probably never going to happen, but I think it is time they should consider it, is he needs to start playing over Josh Jackson.
Good luck with that.
I don't think it's going to happen, like I said. That's no slight to Josh Jackson. I just think Brown is playing much better football at this moment. I like him on the perimeter. I hope he's ahead of Jackson going forward. Again, I don't expect it.
Then what will happen to in Appleton, though?
Oh, you're thinking of Josh Jones.
Oh, it's Josh.
Totally different Josh.
Josh Jackson.
Josh Jones, Josh Jackson, a lot of Joshes.
There really are.
And then, hey, your boy, Tremont, the switch to safety.
I wish it would have happened sooner.
He's been a steady presence back
then. I really wish it would have happened sooner.
He's been a steady presence. I will say, you notice how the long ball has kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I wish it would have happened sooner, and I need a turnover from Tremont. I really need that.
It's coming.
I smell it.
I feel it.
I believe it's coming, but to me, it's like the young guy stepping up on offense, Aaron Rodgers getting his head out of his ass, and then the defense just getting a couple turnovers. Even one more turnover a game would be the difference.
That's my thing. Here, you know, you start the game with a turnover on defense, giving your offense a short field with a touchdown. You go up, you're up 14-3. That's a game you should win.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game you should just put the dagger in early and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't do it. But Mike did some nice things. Mike did some bad things. Once again, as we do every week now, we talk about Mike's best and worst here at Cheesehead TV.
But you don't talk about his best enough.
There's one each, Banky. You don't do a laundry list. You don't do a grocery store list.
If you did machine learning on how much time you spend on best versus worst, I bet the machine would be like, oh, you're spending too much time on worst.
Well, let's find out. Gaff, roll it. Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst. After a 27-24 defeat in Seattle, it's time to look at what Mike McCarthy did well and what he did not so well. And I gotta be honest, when we brought this back, it was about highlighting the good things Mike does that never get talked about. And honestly, looking at that Seattle game, it's hard to find much on the positive side of the ledger. But there's one thing that jumps out, and that's the play design.
on the throw to Aaron Jones in the end zone. That's something we haven't seen. Throwing to running backs out of the backfield, downfield. Not just check downs, not just releases, but actual design to get the running back in the end zone featuring Aaron Jones. That's A-plus work from McCarthy. Unfortunately, it takes a bit more than designing plays to win in the NFL. And there's a whole litany of things you could highlight on the bad side of the ledger. Whether it's not using Jones enough in the running game, whether it's not challenging an obvious incomplete pass. There's a whole lot of things you could talk about, but to me, the number one biggest mistake Mike McCarthy made in Seattle, not going for it on 4th and 2. You've got a depleted defense that's been out there almost twice as much as your offense has. You've lost Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark. You've got one timeout left. It's 4th and 2. You're in that house of horrors that is Seattle, where you have continually shot yourselves in the foot. You have a chance to grab the ring. Go for it. You need 2 yards. But no, Mike punts basically the game away. That's Mike's best and worst for week 11. Make sure you subscribe, like, and share us on Facebook. We'll see you back here next week.
I think Julia makes a good point on the chat there, Banky. I can't fabricate bests.
You know what's funny? Nagler, you mocked me when I opined Frackrell should be starting.
I didn't, what?
So maybe you...
No.
Maybe you owe viewer apologies, not just Frackrell apologies.
They are here of their own free will. I don't owe them nothing. The people who play on the NFL football field, they're getting paid. They're professionals, and I rip them. I got to apologize. Like, these people are here. Please, come on. I do not remember making fun of anyone talking about Fackrell should be starting. I do remember saying I don't ever expect it to happen because Nick Perry and Clay Matthews have contracts, and I can't imagine Mike Pettine going to Mike McCarthy or Winston Moss going to Mike Pettine and even daring to suggest, you know, we need to bench Nick Perry or we need to bench Mike McCarthy or Clay Matthews. Now, Nick Perry has been suddenly erased from the conversation because of an injury,
yep,
as always happens. Yep. But I would be absolutely shocked if they actually made that a permanent thing. Now, again.
But now don't you have to, though?
This is the Packers, baby. Desmond Bishop was tearing it up for years, and he couldn't get on the field as a starter.
Nah, not after that performance, though. He's got more sacks than anybody on the Packers now.
I understand that.
He's the sack leader.
I agree. Is this your first year cheering for the Green Bay Packers?
No, but
under Mike McCarthy,
I understand. What's Mike's problem on 4th and 2? Seriously.
Oh my God.
I love me some Mike, but it's like Mike. He used to be so aggressive.
I tell you
if
this:
you got over the 50-yard line.
He was going for it.
He was going for it. It didn't matter. And then what was great is he had this 3rd and 4th mindset, mm-hmm, where he knew he was going for it on 4th. So that's where he was.
The third
prepping.
Down was going.
But like
right,
on 4th and 2, what in the heck?
To me, that more than anything, you talk about Kyler Fackrell being a metaphor. That 4th and 2 call is a metaphor for shrinking from the moment and playing scared.
Yeah.
I mean, playing plain and simple, playing scared. This guy who both hands in the wheel, where nobody's underdog, blah, 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 totally disappeared. Completely left his body on that one. And, I mean, just punted the game away, literally. It blows my mind that, as I said in the video, you're down Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels. They've moved the ball pretty successfully on you. Your defense has been on the field almost twice as much as your offense. They're completely worn down.
It's like, just look at TOP for 2 seconds.
Go
and make your decision
get
off that.
The 2 yards.
But that's an easy data stat. Like, who's been on the field longer? Oh, our defense? Okay, let our offense make this happen.
I do love how he kind of threw Philbin under the bus later. I mean, it's a fact. If this is what happened, He said, you know, we consulted and Joe was the one who made the case for punting. But it's like,
that's what I would. If I was the head coach, I would throw you under the bus.
Throw me under the bus all the time.
I would literally hire you I could throw you under the bus.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I would be familiar. Like, oh, what happened? You don't like that call? Oh, Nagler made that call.
That was all Nagler.
Oh, wait, you like that one? Oh, yeah, that was all me right there. I do that all day.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Oh, let's talk about this game in Minnesota. Okay. Are you going to be at this game? You're not. You're going to be here, right?
I'll be here.
Yeah. We're going to be at the watch
party. Watching with you.
We're gonna have a watch party. You, me, Packer Man, the helmet.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be good times.
Maybe beer and some cheese.
Maybe we'll have some people watching.
That'll be fun. It'll be a good time. What won't be a good time is playing in Minnesota. I hate that place. Hate that building.
A horn. God, if I have to hear that horn one more time in my life.
Yeah, well,
you're going to have to hear it thousands of times.
Well, you won't have to hear it on Sunday night because we don't listen to the audio. So
that's good.
Unless you want to play it.
I'm going to hear that horn. You hear it, though. As soon as they make a touchdown, you hear it. As soon as they get a first down. Why do they have to play it when they make a first down? That's so dumb.
Because they can't do the wave? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I hate that horn. God. I need to buy a horn so we can break it on Sunday.
There you go. I'm down with that. I like that idea. All right. Well, here's what, to me, the big three keys to this game are Kirk Cousins is going to give you a chance. He's going to give you a chance to make a play or two.
Yeah.
Go make that play.
Yes.
You saw against the Bears how he threw a couple. He has thrown a number of questionable picks this year. And you're in prime time where traditionally Cousins doesn't play that well.
No.
He does not play well in primetime games. He just hasn't.
Tremont pick six. That's what
so
I'm looking for.
Just whatever he gives you, take it. Whether it's carelessness with the football like Buffalo did back in week two or three or whatever it was. You know, just take care of what he gives you.
Yep.
Go take advantage of it. Number two, don't let Thielen take over. This kid is amazing. He is an amazing prospect. I've liked him as a wide receiver forever, and he's really kind of blown up in the last year and a half. And he's a guy who could really give them trouble. Because, you know, Alexander, I don't think he's shut down, but he's going to lock up with Diggs most likely for a lot of the game. And I like our chances there. I think, yes, Diggs will get his. But, you know, I feel confident with Alexander.
Yeah, it's that middle with Thielen, yeah.
But Thielen against anybody else, Tony Brown, Josh Jackson, even Kevin King if he's back, like, I don't like that.
Is Kevin King back this week?
We won't. McCarthy wouldn't say anything today,
that's
of course.
Exciting.
He was in the rehab group today, so we'll see.
That's exciting.
I'm sure the injury report's probably out by now, but it was not out when we went
Got
to
it. That's exciting.
It could be.
Packer man is the GOAT.
True. Then finally, take advantage of early opportunities. You had that fumble last week, put you in a great position. You took advantage, but then you didn't step on the gas. When it's 14-3, step on the gas, put them away. Take advantage of early opportunities, especially in that building, which is so loud. I can't describe.
It's really annoying.
Because the press box there is open air.
It should be illegal.
It's open air. So it's like third down. It hurts.
The players
it literally hurts your head.
Players union should have a rule that the DB should not be able to be loud enough. That's loud.
Nuts.
It's because it's a dome. It's because it's Minnesota. Ah, Minnesota. Minnesota nice is some bullshit, by the way. I just want to say that.
True.
Okay?
True.
It's Wisconsin nice. They stole it from us.
Just like everything else. Like all the ex-Packer players that they take. All right. It's that time. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Roll it, Gav.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. Banky.
Yes.
Exciting stuff.
Exciting.
Oh, first of all, we got an email.
We got an email this morning about the Patreon page.
So this gentleman did not know what a Patreon was. Didn't know Patreon existed.
Had no idea. Had been watching our show, had been listening to us, and didn't know what
it was. Has existed on the internet since the 90s.
And is now, and works in web.
And now is a proud patron.
Yeah.
And you can be too.
But he made a point that we don't talk about it enough or explain.
Or to explain what it is. Look, we do this out of love. Clearly it's a labor of love. It's what we do. We don't make any money on this show. And we have patrons on a website called Patreon. And if you go to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv, you'll find, I think right now we're up to 80-something, 81, 82 patrons who give us $5 a month to help pay for things like lights, computers, stands, televisions, microphones, things that, you know, all cost money that we don't make doing the show. Not to mention our time, our content that we give to you guys for free. It's just a way for people to say thank you and to support what we do. And in turn, we do things like have you know, exclusive interviews with Randall Cobb,
yep,
like we did a couple weeks ago. And today...
And, well, I found a box.
A box!
This is a real story.
What's in a box?
It doesn't sound like a real story, but
nope.
Seriously.
No,
so
it doesn't.
I found a box of Cheesehead... New.
Brand new. Never been worn, except for now.
Cheesehead TV t-shirts.
Old school.
So I think there's like, what?
There's like 25, 26
Yeah, there's like 25
shirts.
T-shirts. So every week... To our patrons only, we are going
only
to give...
Only to members of our Patreon.
If you are a member of Patreon, the Cheesehead TV Patreon, we are going to give away a t-shirt of your choice. Now, we will show you the sizes we have of the shirts, but we're going to draw someone every week. So this week, we're going to draw someone from our Patreon users. So we're going to wait until, you know, tonight, Nagler will... Sometime tonight, because we want you to get on right now if you're not a Patreon subscriber. And go ahead. It's $5 a month right now. But, you know, you give $5 and you
might give more if you want.
You can give more than $5.
You can give us $100 a month if you're feeling so inclined. But $5 gets you in. $5 a month, you're a patron. And yes.
We'll draw.
Every week.
Every week, we're going to draw a new t-shirt. So one of the t-shirts is the one I'm wearing right now. And
that's a very special one.
It's a special one. We're going to give this away at the end of the season.
This will be show worn, signed by both of us.
And then we have, there's three other ones. There's like three lot of ball games left, which is.
They're all mediums.
They're all mediums. Then
that's the other thing. There's very limited sizing here.
There's one that's Cheesehead TV with the TV and the Cheesehead in the middle. There's this one. And then there's another Cheesehead TV that's a green one. So, you know. We're not making any more this season. We're just going to give
getting rid of these
away. We're going to give
but
these away.
To be clear, brand new, never been worn. They're not used. They're not like whatever.
Nope.
But we just need to get rid of them. So we thought we'll give them away to our patrons.
Yeah, we'll give them away to our fans. And you know, our most diehard fans are on Patreon because they're actually paying for our content.
Amazing in 2018 that exists.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
We almost have more subscribers than ESPN Plus.
Close. So yes, if you're on Patreon as of tonight, I'll do the drawing after Thanksgiving, and then we'll send you the options of what the shirts are, and then you pick one, and then we send it to you.
Yeah.
Whoever the lucky winner is. And we'll do that every week for the next X amount of weeks.
Yep.
Hotness, Banky. You got anything else you want to say to the fine folks?
No, just don't give up on the Packers, people.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Marcus Doyle, who literally just signed up on Patreon.
Yeah, don't look, people.
Marcus, thanks so much, man.
You know, obviously, if you're here watching the show, you haven't given up on the Packers. Just you know, I don't know. Just be thankful. We're going into Thanksgiving. Like, be thankful you're a Packers fan. We still got a chance at this season.
Absolutely, baby.
And you know what? Have fun with this. It's fun. It's fun to watch football with your friends and your family. And sometimes, you know, we take it a little too seriously.
And for granted.
And you're literally hearing that from someone who takes football way too seriously. So...
It's
take
true.
That what it will.
Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels. You guys really help make us do this thing that is a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever.
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?